I'm Andrea Loyan, Vermont Edition producer, and I just wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening, and enjoy!
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. After months of anticipation, we are now just 2 weeks away from the total solar eclipse. The eclipse is going to bring a lot into the state, including more than 3 minutes of darkness in the middle of the day, an estimated $10 to $20 million in out-of-state tourism dollars, and a lot of cars. Joining us to discuss how the state is preparing for this big once-in-a-lifetime event is Eric Forand, the director of Vermont Emergency Management. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We're also here with Jana Morse with the Agency of Transportation. She's the director of their Finance and Administration Division, but right now she's also helping with eclipse planning as the commander of their Transportation Incident Command Center. We'll learn what that is in a few minutes. Jana, welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, Eric, first, we've heard lots of different numbers about how many people are potentially going to come in to Vermont, from 50,000 to 200,000. What is the general estimate right now?
We're using 160,000 as our estimate based on some compilations that AOT is actually making on traffic flow modeling. So that's the high case, worst case number that we are using for our modeling.
Okay. Best case or worst case?
Good point. This it would be the highest number that we're envisioning come to Vermont.
Great. And you're working with the Agency of Transportation on some modeling around that. Jada, how does that work? How are you all trying to figure out how many people are coming into the state?
So it's been an interesting process. We've worked with UVM and done some traffic modeling based on several assumptions that we recognize may not be correct, but also may end up being accurate, right? So it's the best information that we have at this time to be able to inform some future decisions. So we've made assumptions that traffic flow is going to come from the south to the most direct point north from wherever they may be traveling from. So it might be Boston or Hartford, Connecticut. It might be parts of Maine or New Hampshire that would also travel north within their own state, but it may be closer or they may have friends or family in the greater viewing area in Vermont. So using those assumptions and what we think may be day trippers versus the number of rooms that are available for booking in Vermont. And we've made assumptions on how many people, maybe 2 to 3 people per car, maybe up to anywhere between 50, depending, weather dependent, of course. If it's a bright sunny day, we should expect a higher volume of traffic. If it's maybe a more cloudy day, we should expect a lower volume of traffic.
Mm. And let's talk weather here for a minute, because I have heard a lot of speculation about if it's going to be cloudy or not. The New York Times even had a map where you can kind of look at historical data and figure out, will this place in the line of totality have the highest likelihood of being sunny versus cloudy? Eric, How are you all thinking about that? And how much does weather play into your plans?
It's a significant part of our planning, but the one that we don't have any control over.
Sure.
So at this point, the National Weather Service in Burlington has indicated, based on past data, that there's an 80% chance of cloudiness on this day. So given that, we don't know if when folks wake up Monday morning, if they're going to come up or if they're not going to come up. But obviously, we have to plan for all of them to make the trip up, hoping for good weather, hoping for all these visitors to come to Vermont. But right now, we just don't know. We will start getting briefs from the National Weather Service each day starting next week, so we can kind of hone in a little bit on what the weather will look like, whether it's good or bad. But right now, 10 days out, there's a potential for cloudy.
Mm, all right. Well, one of the things that I think I forget sometimes, because we've been at the station thinking about the eclipse for months now, is that there's a lot of folks outside of Vermont who might not be in the path of the eclipse who are going to make a game time decision about whether to come here, morning of. They might wake up, it's, a beautiful day, and they'll say, all right, let's drive to Vermont.
That's correct, and that's the segment of the visitors that we're worried about. Those individuals that have planned their event and have their hotel rooms and know where they're going and know how they're going to get there and know how they're going to get home, not as worried about those as the individuals that wake up Monday morning and decide to come to Vermont. And as we all know, Vermont's weather could be sunny, rainy, snowy, muddy, all of the above. So trying to get the word out through social media and through other means just to have those individuals that are coming, even if it is day of, have a plan. Like car full of fuel, cell phone charge, snacks in the car, just with the expectation that there may be some traffic backup and you may have to spend some time in traffic, which isn't normal in Vermont, but maybe more normal where they're from.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about traffic for sure in just a moment. But first, listeners, we want to hear from you. What are your questions about preparing for the total solar eclipse that's coming our way very, very soon now, April 8th? 800-639-2211 is our number. We also know a lot of you are involved in some pretty interesting eclipse events. Call in and tell us about them. Again, 800-639-2211. Jaina, when did the Agency of Transportation get started on eclipse planning?
So we started in the fall, and we've been planning in lockstep with Vermont Emergency Management to understand where we need to focus our efforts on. How can VTrans or AOT support the work that's being done at the statewide level? Where do we need to be engaged from a safety perspective? We have DMV enforcement officers that are supporting activities during the eclipse. And then we also have, you know, the road network and making sure that our road network remains accessible and we're communicating about that. So we've really honed in on what our messaging is going to be in the coming weeks, how we're leveraging social media in partnership with VEM, and how we're leveraging our expanded variable message boards that we'll be placing around the state during the day of to warn the motoring public around what they should expect coming up. It might be delays anticipated, or if we can hone in on timing of how long delays might be, and we might be putting that out on the message boards as well. Mm. So that's kind of where our focus has been for the last few months.
Okay, so you started back in the fall. Is that when Vermont Emergency Management started planning as well?
We've been working on planning for this. We created a couple different working groups. Transportation was under the safety working group, but we had a couple of others. Communications and then the PIO, the public information section. So we had a couple different groups working over the last several months on this project.
Okay. So Vermont was not able to snag a Taylor Swift concert during her Eras tour, but this seems like it's kind of our Taylor.
This is our time to shine. All right. Or not shine in this case.
Yes. We'll see. So the last time that Vermont really had to lead on its emergency management plans was during last summer's floods. Of course, extremely different event than what we're, you know, have spent months preparing for with the April 8th total solar eclipse. But I'm curious if there was anything about working through that process that you'll kind of carry with you as we get ready for the eclipse, Eric.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to a storm, actually. We don't have control over what's going to happen. We just have to try to understand how it's going to affect the local citizens and how it's going to affect our infrastructure. So it's the same way we looked at this. We tried to estimate traffic flow based similar to estimating a storm's severity, in this case, using AOT's modeling, but then trying to put in place things that would mediate some of the downfall. So, for example, we're keeping welcome centers open later. We're looking at portable bathroom facilities, increasing those at the both parking areas and welcome centers. We've spoken with the local tow truck drivers association to make sure that they're ready for this. Spoken to the local fuel dealers to make sure that gas stations near the highway are taking deliveries the day before. And then, like I said earlier, we're mentioning a lot of educating on both citizens and visitors to try to get them to prepare and make plans for this event, but not all that dissimilar from a storm.
Mm. And Jaina, what about you? Is the Agency of Transportation kind of taking into account anything that you all learned during the flooding?
Absolutely. So we pride ourselves on being very up to speed on our incident command structure and systems, which is where our Transportation Incident Command System has kind of taken its infancy from over the last few years. And we've grown in our ability to both support at the statewide level and be a partner in the mission and resource unit within Vermont Emergency Management Statewide Emergency Operations Center. Lots of acronyms there that just got spelled out, right? And from the flood, we honed in on what we really need in the different types of positions that we would fill in our Transportation Incident Command Center that might be incident dependent. So where we stood up our Incident Command Center for the pandemic, we also stood it up for the flood, and we're standing it up for the eclipse. Our lessons learned are very similar in understanding both communications and resourcing needs for that particular event.
Hmm. Well, give us a call at 800-639-2211 if you're feeling a little nervous about the eclipse, want to have some help with your planning. We have two experts with us today, Eric Forant, the Director of Vermont Emergency Management, and Jana Morse with the Agency of Transportation. Now, the eclipse is going to impact, I think it's like 13 different states, lots of different metropolitan centers. Eric, have you been in touch with your counterparts in other states or coordinating with maybe other places in New England, learning about what they're doing? How's that
work? That's a great question. I was actually on a call late last week with the director of Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and Maine, as well as New Hampshire. So, and we spoke about what they're doing, what we're doing, how we could work off each other, giving each other suggestions and ideas. And then we actually have meetings to set up for that day of the 8th to check in to see if we needed anything or if we can help each other.
That's great. Jana, what about you all? So, highways, no bounds.
We have been in touch with all of our neighboring states and our northern border partners in Quebec to streamline our messaging so that our messaging is consistent. How is the motoring public going to travel through our states efficiently and effectively, and how do we make sure we're not pointing them in different directions as they cross state lines? So we've been operations has been coordinating quite closely with New Hampshire, Vermont, our Vermont partners that are cross borders, and New York, Massachusetts, and Quebec. We've also participated with Federal Highways in a peer exchange a couple of weeks ago where we learned some lessons learned from prior eclipse events in the 2017 events and the fall events that happened across the state or the nation, excuse me, and brought some of those back. So Federal Highways has been a really great partner with us as well.
Like what? What'd you learn?
We learned a lot about the modeling and how our assumptions are just that. They're assumptions. They could be correct. They could be blown out of the water. We learned that really we were spot on with planning the assumption that traffic is going to flow to the most direct point that from where the origination is to see the eclipse. So those coming from Boston, from Hartford, Connecticut, that type of thing, they're going to go straight north as opposed to taking a little bit more winding route. We also learned, as what Eric was talking about, that it's important to have extra facilities available, so that might be and resources available in the state. So doing that pre-planning with our fuel dealers associations, doing the pre-planning with the towing companies and that association, as well as increasing our facilities on the highways, was a critical point for many states that they recommended we do.
We just got an email from a listener named Rod in Richmond who writes, please note that due to Google and Waze's algorithms, traffic will be diverted onto local roads when traffic slows on the highways. Jana, is this a concern for you all about traffic being diverted by some of these apps that lots of folks are going to be using to get around onto roads that aren't used to a lot of traffic?
So we fully expect that the general public will be using apps to assist them with mobility that day, especially if they run into delays with getting to their preferred eclipse viewing location. So we're encouraging people to plan ahead, plan extra time, be prepared for delays in traffic, and still take your normal route if you can. If you are going to divert off of the route, make sure that you're aware of where that route's going to take you. So if you're maybe if you don't have appropriate vehicles or tires for a dirt road, you might want to take that into consideration and maybe not take that longer route that would get you there a couple of minutes quicker. That type of thing. So we're aware it may happen.
We've also set up a meeting with local municipalities biweekly, and that's one of the messages that we've been pushing to them is even if you're not having an eclipse event, you may see traffic impacts, and you should be ready to adjust for that. And meaning maybe you know that road that Google always sends people to when they get stuck, you could block it off maybe. Or if you want to do safe pedestrian spaces, you might need to do something about that. But we've been trying to message that to local municipalities for the last couple months.
All right, let's get in a little bit more to some of the traffic concerns that people are having. That's what I'm hearing from folks the most. Now, Eric, my colleague Howard Weiss-Tisman recently did this great story. If you haven't listened, you should check it out there, listeners, about the Phish concert in Coventry that happened 20 years ago. You were quoted in the piece. Traffic notoriously backed up 30 miles on 91. Lots of fans just abandoned their cars in the mud entirely and walked in. Coventry, again, is in the path of the eclipse. What's going to be different about this mass event?
The geographic area covered is much larger, right? So those individuals were trying to specifically get to one farm in Coventry. So when they couldn't get there by their vehicle, they just decided to walk. In this situation, most of those individuals that are coming up that late don't necessarily even have a location to go to. They're just trying to get somewhere. So in that case, if they are on the highway, they may just stop, which we do not recommend. We recommend you get off the highway. But you can potentially get out of your car, witness the event from any parking lot anywhere from in the path of totality, which is roughly Addison County north. So we don't expect them to then abandon their car and leave it. They can just stay in their car, watch the event, get back in their car, and return to where they came from. So it's a little bit different of an event. Similar amount of cars, possibly, but just the event itself and the way it's dispersed across the state is significantly different.
And maybe fewer hallucinogens. Not sure, but we'll see, at least while you're driving. All right, let's take a couple calls. Peggy is in White River Junction. Peggy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. My husband and I live in, White River, and we have a couple of Priuses. And we were worrying about the topic that you just mentioned, which I didn't hear because I had turned the radio off, about, mud season. I avoid it in general, but we were starting to look at our old gazetteer and say, oh, boy, let's go on these back roads. And then I thought, uh-oh. So if anybody has any thoughts about the duration of mud season, which, of course, associated with this recent storm, you don't know. It's like weather, but I'd love to hear about that. And also, if they're going to be diverting traffic off of the big roads onto back roads, if they're dirt, that could be a problem.
Yeah. Jada, what do you think?
Sure. So I wish that I could predict whether mud season was going to be in full swing on the 8th. As you mentioned, the weather can be pretty volatile, right? We can be anywhere from 50 degrees and our roads are starting to back roads, especially dirt roads are getting a little soft, to it could be 12 degrees and things have firmed up and there's still some ruts and bumps from what we anticipate to be a semi-warm week later this week. So, I think that one of the challenges is some of the travelers that are coming north aren't going to be familiar with our roads and aren't going to know which ones are okay for their vehicles and which ones aren't. I can share that AOT will not be diverting traffic off of any of our state highways. Our state highways will all remain open. We can't predict, of course, if there would be an incident or some sort of traffic delay, but we will not be closing any of our state roads. As far as the municipality roads, I really can't speak to any of those. I think, some municipalities have already shared areas that they're going to be blocking off for events and other parking and viewing activities for that day. So it would be best to check in one of the vermont.gov/eclipse website or other local municipality websites to see what the closures might be in that area.
Mm. And keep those snow tires on, I guess.
All
right. Diane in Bradford's up next. Diane, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon. I was just curious. I live in right where I could watch the eclipse because I'm on the New Hampshire-Vermont border, or drive to St. J. on Montpelier, which is equidistant. And I'm just wondering, I know St. Johnsbury at the Fairbanks Museum is probably going to bring in big crowds. So I'm just trying to decide if Montpelier is doing anything or if I should just stay put.
Ooh, that's a great question. I'm not sure what's going on in Montpelier. We'll have to look around and find out. Eric, are you aware? Any advice for Diane?
The Vermont Department of Tourism has a website with a calendar on it. All municipalities, we are encouraging them to list their events on it. So that would be the best place to go.
All right. That's going to be a tough one. I hope you find a great event that you can go to. We also are covering a number of different events from Burlington to St. Albans, Richmond. It does look like Montpelier Alive is hosting an eclipse weekend there with lots of different things to do. So Diane could be a fun choice. All right. We got a question just now from Julie in Montpelier, who writes, what do you know about the Burlington Airport during the time around the eclipse? I have a very early flight out Tuesday morning, unconnected to the eclipse, and I've been thinking about how parking there may be affected, or even whether I might run into traffic then. I'll be headed in the opposite direction of most eclipse goers' routes, but I'm a little spooked hearing the numbers of visitors expected. Eric, any advice on the Burlington Airport bound?
I know Burlington Airport is having an event. I don't know where on the tarmac it's located, and I don't believe it'll have an effect on the terminal. But like any other event, you should try to plan in advance and go a little bit earlier. We don't know traffic when it'll start. Those individuals that are coming up on the day of, we don't expect heavy traffic flow early, but as you get closer to the event, it's going to pick up.
And Julie, I'll just say anecdotally, I feel like those early flights out of Burlington are often the ones that are slammed the most getting through security. So yeah, plan some extra time. We have Janet on the line from Richmond with a question. Janet, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. This is probably a silly question. It kind of is related to what you were just talking about, and that's the timing of the traffic. I have to drive from Richmond up to Susie Wilson Road to pick something up during the morning, and I was hoping to do it around midday. Am I insane? Can I reschedule?
You just got a grimace from Jada. So Jada, what do you think?
Janet, I would suggest that you find another time to pick up what you need to do. Maybe schedule it for Tuesday or much earlier in the morning if you have to make the trip that day.
Janet, best of luck. I hope you are able to reschedule. It does sound like roads are going to be pretty wild. All right. Well, if you have questions about the eclipse, you can give us a call at 800-639-2211. You can also email us at vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. We did get one other emailed question. Hold on one second. Oh, here it is. And it's not actually a question. It is a list of a couple events that the emailer wanted us to know about. William, who's the secretary and treasurer of the Northeast Kingdom Astronomy Foundation, he wrote in with a couple of events that they're a part of. William will be working with Discover Newport, Vermont to co-host their eclipse event, which will be held at Gardner Park. The MUD alternative location is Prouty Beach. The president of their foundation is going to host an event at the Deborah Rawson Memorial Library in Jericho. There's also an event going on at the Echo Center in Burlington that they're a part of. And a member is going to host an event at the Northern Skies Observatory in Peacham. And William writes, most of these events will run from 2 to 5 p.m. and will have glasses and safe telescopes available. All right, speaking of glasses, Jana, I'm going to throw you an easy one here. Should you or should you not drive with your eclipse glasses on?
You should absolutely not drive with your eclipse glasses on. If anyone has seen their eclipse glasses already, you can't really see through them on a regular sun or cloudy day,
yeah,
or at any time. So please take them off when driving.
I didn't realize this until I just tried mine on. Vermont Public has some special Vermont Public branded eclipse glasses we've been giving out. I did not know you couldn't see a thing through them.
You cannot.
Yeah, we recommend not moving at all while you have them on.
Yeah.
Right? Stay pretty stationary.
Probably wise. Eric, have you all been getting a lot of questions about just where to get eclipse glasses? And I know there's some concerns about ones that are, you maybe order online and they don't actually work. They could still hurt your
eyes.
We're
just recommending that you get the OSHA-approved glasses and making sure that they are specifically designed for eclipse, because I'm sure there are faulty ones out there. But no, most of the municipalities are handling that, or local organizations. So individuals are going to those first.
All right. Well, we know that a lot of folks might be heading up to hills and mountainsides for the eclipse. Our next guest has some information about staying safe if you are out in the woods or on the trails on April 8th. Keegan Tierney is the director of field programs for the Green Mountain Club. Keegan, thanks for joining us.
Sure thing. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So on the Green Mountain Club website, you're currently encouraging people to stay out of the backcountry. Why is that important this time of year?
Yeah, I think there's two primary reasons. One is, regardless of whether it's mud season on the roads or not, it's definitely going to be mud season in the backcountry. And it's a time of year that we typically ask folks to stay off the trails anyway, for protection of the trail tread and the resource around it. And then the secondary factor is the potential for even more limited access to emergency resources. So if somebody was to get hurt in the backcountry, it's always a longer evac. But if emergency response planners are going to be busy with front country incidents or traffic, that time could be expanded and exacerbated even more during the eclipse.
Mm. All right. So if people are listening to you, they're going to stay out of the backcountry, but they do want to go somewhere out in nature to experience the eclipse. What are some places that are along the path of totality that you recommend, you're excited about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of great spots. A lot of the local municipalities are having events that are lower elevation and in open areas or green spaces. Also, Vermont State Parks is opening up a number of parks for limited access for the eclipse. They are noting that the parks aren't open for the season, so resources will be limited, but you can get into the park. You know, good examples of that would be Mount Philo, Grand Isle State Park, Knight Point State Park. So there's a lot of places out there, and folks can find a full list on the state's website.
Mm. Are there any places that you need to like get a pass early or reserve a spot at?
As far as backcountry management goes, no. I'm not aware of any places that are having any type of reservation system.
Right. Well, we got an email that I'm wondering if you could help us out with. Mary and Alec asked, we are in Manchester Center. What is the best place near us to watch the eclipse? Now, Mary and Alec, I think there's lots of choices available, and we have some of them listed on vermontpublic.org. Eric's mentioned some resources available online. But Keegan Tierney with the Green Mountain Club, I wonder if you might have a suggestion for somebody that's in the Manchester area.
Sure, yeah. If they want to stay local, I think there's a number of spots right down there in Manchester where they could view the eclipse from. If they want to travel a little bit, coming up the Route 7 corridor will get them closer to the path of totality. And there are a couple of state parks along that corridor that they could find, or a number of open spaces in local town greens or parks that they could check out.
And if somebody does decide to try to get out in nature a little bit off the beaten path, any advice for what they should bring with them on eclipse day?
Yeah, I think the first thing is knowledge. So, you know, if folks do decide they want to get out into the backcountry, there's not going to be folks out there writing tickets or telling them not to. So really knowing what conditions they're going to get into. If they're going up in elevation, they could run right from kind of early summer, late spring conditions in the valleys right back up into the winter as they go up towards the 4,000 footers. So really being prepared for that and having all the right gear. If you're not familiar with what that is, there's lots of resources on Green Mountain Club's website to educate yourself, and there's other places out there where folks can find that information. But really want to stress that folks really should be prepared for widely variable conditions if they're going out into the backcountry.
Yeah, and I'm guessing a lot of places already don't have cell service, and cell service might be a little more stretched than usual out there as well.
That's right. Folks should be 100% ready to self-support if they're going out into the backcountry.
Oh. Well, Keegan, do you have a place that you're planning to go on eclipse day, or still trying to figure it out?
My little town of 1,600 people is having an event, so I'll probably be hanging out right in Starksboro Village.
All right. Well, Keegan Tierney with the Green Mountain Club, thanks so much for sharing these tips.
Yeah, thank you. And hope everybody has fun with it.
Yeah, has fun and stays safe. Eric just brought up cell service there. Has that been a concern? Have you been talking with cell service providers?
Absolutely. We've been in contact with them since late last year, and they've continuously given us the confidence that they can handle the increased traffic that's going to come from this event. So we did work with them on some locations to what they call optimizing their cell towers, so they can point the cones at certain events if they're larger or a little bit further away. So we've worked on that, and we do have 5 cell assets that we can deploy if necessary. So we have those at the Department of Public Safety. We don't envision any issues with the cell towers. There may be some slowdown as people try to video stream or try to call their friends. But we do and did verify with the cell phone providers that 911 access gets preemptive service. So regardless of your service provider, if you call 911, you jump to the front of the queue and your 911 call goes through first. So given the fact that they are saying that there shouldn't be any issues to begin with, and the fact that 911 gets preemptive, then we're pretty confident that there won't be any issues.
Yeah, good to hear. Well, we have a couple more questions coming in on our phone lines. Let's go next to Joe in Stowe. Joe, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I wonder if you have discussed or would discuss, please, the EV, electric vehicle charging network in Vermont and any limitations that you think we might see. Mm. And I'll take my answer off.
Great. Thanks so much, Joe. I had that question as well. Gina, for folks who are driving an electric car, any advice? I know Vermont's been trying to build out its EV charging station network, but, you know, we're not quite where we want to be yet.
So I would check online, make sure you know for your type of vehicle where you can charge in advance and plan a couple of options as you're coming up the corridors. And whether you're coming on the highway or coming in via Route 7 or another path, it would be great for any EV users to charge before they come into Vermont and then charge more frequently as they're going up to wherever they're headed. And then plan ahead. You know, there's going to be probably some traffic delays, especially if the weather is nice, for departing immediately following the eclipse. So knowing where a few options might be to charge your vehicle on the way back out is going to be equally important.
Mm. And as an EV owner myself, I would just say download all those charging apps early, because sometimes you can get stuck in a charging station with a new app that you haven't downloaded before. And that can be a real pain, too.
And we have the same advice for gasoline-powered vehicles, is that make sure that your tank is filled and don't wait as long as you may on a normal day. So say it gets down to a quarter of a tank, start looking for stations sooner rather than later. Vermont obviously doesn't have a lot of exits, so you don't want to get caught out on the highway without a fuel.
Let's go right back into the phones. We have a lot of calls coming in. We'll start with Taylor in Burlington. Taylor, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. So I'm a Burlington resident, and I unfortunately have plans to go out of state the weekend before the eclipse, and I'm going to be returning on Sunday. And I'm just trying to get a sense of what we're looking at for traffic, like double the amount of time we would normally expect to get through the state, just a couple more hours.
And you're driving,
any
Taylor?
Tips would be so awesome. Yes, driving from Westchester, New York, back to Vermont, to Burlington.
Jana, what do you think?
Well, Taylor, I definitely would recommend planning ahead for some extra time. It's going to be difficult to predict today what we might see for traffic as we're honing in on what the weather might look like. We might have a little bit better idea as we get closer to the day of Sunday, which is when you said you were returning. I would definitely check out newengland511.org. That'll give you our most up-to-date traffic information so you can see any delays or incidents that might be occurring on the roads. And then kind of watch your news stations. There might be some more information coming in from there. And I don't know, Eric, if you have anything to add.
Just that 511 is for state roads. So if you're also taking local roads, you could use Waze. That's what we're encouraging local municipalities to update their information on. But it's also self-directed by actual travelers. So it has pretty up-to-date information.
Mm. We also got an emailed question from Kim, wondering what to expect at the border coming from Montreal to Vermont on the Saturday prior to the eclipse. Kim writes, I'm getting a friend from Montreal Airport as flying into Burlington was just not affordable next week. Eric, have you all been in discussions with folks in Quebec?
The Border Patrol has been in our working groups for the last couple of months. They're not expecting a significant increase in flow across the border. They do have a few extra staff and can open other crossing specific gates at crossings, but because half or a third of the path of totality is in Canada, the expectation is that Canadians may stay in Canada, but we do know that there'll be some inflow. So like we've said a couple times during this, planning ahead is really what you need to do to make sure that you have time and make sure that you have the resources you need to get through.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the phones. We have Fred in Brattleboro. Fred, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Could you say a little bit more about what the models predict after the moment of totality in terms of traffic on the roads? I'm going to be traveling north to a friend's house in Danville and want to try to get back to something at 6:30 in the evening, and wondering how soon after totality I should peel out of there. Mm. Thanks.
Great question, Fred. It's often harder getting out of the concert than it is to get into it. Jana, any advice?
Sure. So, Fred, we made a couple of assumptions with the modeling in that many people will leave immediately following the eclipse. So once, once the full eclipse has occurred and even some of the partial, you might see some folks starting to depart. We expect a lot of traffic on the roads headed south, headed east and west, maybe less headed north, but again, it depends on where they're coming from. We do expect most of the traffic to be coming from the south for the event, and then they will turn around and head back south. So I would expect a lot of traffic at the time that you're considering your trip.
Hmm. Well, thank you for the call, Fred. Anything to add there?
Yeah,
Eric?
And the Vermont Tourism has been trying to push out through social media the stay another day marketing. It's just if you have time, you can stay into that evening, have dinner, stay a little while, stay an extra night. You know, Vermont's beautiful. Stay as long as you can and help out the economy.
I love that. All right. Well, Fred, good luck. Let's go next to Carla in East Thetford. Carla, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I'm already in Vermont, which is good, but I was going to head north to the Burlington area for the actual viewing. So my thought was find a museum, get there early, see some of the museum, view the totality, the event, and then hang out at the museum some more, and then avoid most of the traffic. Shelburne is what I had in mind. Am I barking up the right tree?
Carla, love that plan for you. I am guessing Chittenden County is going to see more traffic than other parts of the state, though. Jaina, any thoughts?
That's our assumption as well. I believe the Shelburne Museum is hosting an event that requires tickets, is what I've heard. So, Carla, you might want to check that out before you make that plan and maybe come up with a backup if you don't have a ticket for that already. Other than that, I would say it's a great idea. I love your plan early, arrive early, stay later. That is exactly what we're asking for folks to do.
Oh, Carla, you're an Eclipse model. Thank you for calling in. We have a question coming in from Joe in Ludlow. Joe, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering what would be the plan should there be overcast or rain? And the second part is, if it does overcast, how dark will it get for the 3 minutes?
Great question. You know, I don't know if our guests can answer that. I'm going to do a quick Google. Eric, have you done any specific planning for these the potential of rain or overcast?
No, the only thing that we're trying to look at is weather will affect traffic, amounts of traffic that may come up in that morning. But it just may deter some folks from leaving, you know, some southern points to head north. But otherwise, the same thing will – the eclipse is going to happen whether we can actually see it or not. There'll be lots of people here already trying to participate in it. So hopefully they will find something else to do in the state and if it's cloudy.
That's right. And I do think we have some information on vermontpublic.org about what an eclipse would be like if it is cloudy. We have an interview with Mark Breen, our Eye on the Sky weather guy, meteorologist from the Fairbanks Museum. You can check that out as well. He has lots of great tips that he shared with Vermont Public's own Jane Lindholm. Let's go to Rebecca in Bristol next. Rebecca, go ahead. What's your question or your comment?
Hey, I just have a comment. We could sit on our deck and watch the eclipse, but it's our 33rd wedding anniversary, so I booked two nights at Jay Peak, and they're having a Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon themed event, so pretty excited about that. But it's also our second eclipse because when we got married, we flew to Baja, Mexico for a honeymoon for I think it was like 6 minutes and 26 second eclipse. We were on the beach with a lot of eclipse chasers and we honeymooners.
Oh, wow. No clouds there, I'm guessing.
That was, it was an amazing, it looked like today looks in Vermont, you know, bright blue skies. We had a dog that adopted us that we named Butthead, and that poor dog got quite scared during the eclipse, shaking and snuggling up against our ankles.
Oh, my gosh.
So, lots of good memories.
Wow. Well, thanks for calling in. And I hope you have so much fun at Jay Peak. And yes, as our caller Rebecca just mentioned, that during the eclipse, it's especially if it's not very cloudy, it'll get so dark that some animals will go to bed. They'll think it's nighttime. We're doing some reporting here at Vermont Public about, you know, how folks should prepare if they do have animals at their farm or just pets that they're kind of worried about. So stay tuned for that. That story should come out in the next couple of weeks. Christopher is calling in with a question. Christopher in Pittsfield, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, having traveled through Massachusetts a lot, where during rush hour they allow breakdown lane travel, and are you considering doing that?
Jaina.
Christopher, that's a great question. We are not planning to allow breakdown travel during the eclipse or before or after. We are going to be keeping the breakdown lane open for emergency vehicle access.
All right. Well, Christopher, thanks for the call. That's a great one. So EMS services, you know, we've heard a lot in the past couple of years about the shortage of EMS providers, especially in some of Vermont's smaller towns. Eric, I'm curious if that's a concern at all with making sure we have enough folks who are, trained EMTs, people who can get out on the roads and help, especially on a day when a lot of people are going to be taking the day off of work because there's no school or childcare.
Yeah, that's a great question. We're working with the Department of Health, who oversees the EMS programs, and they're working with the local organizations to try to make sure that they have the resources they need to take care of the larger population that's going to come in. Just statistically speaking, there'll be more medical events because of the larger population. So they're working on their resources. They'll bring in extra crews, maybe have double their crews, those types of things during the event itself and throughout the day.
Crews from out of state?
Some of their own crews. So on a normal day, you'd have one crew and then maybe the crew from the day before. But so maybe this day they will hold the other crew over. So using their own personnel to magnify the size of their abilities.
Hmm. Well, we're wrapping up here, and I want to make sure that we've hit on all of the notes that you all want to touch on. I know there's lots of folks who are very excited for this day, but also still feeling a little trepidatious. They live in a rural place, not quite sure what it's going to be like to have potentially very large crowds of up to 160,000 people coming in, as you said, Eric. What are we forgetting? What do you want to make sure that Vermonters know about Eclipse Day?
We just really want to make sure, even if you're staying at home, you should still have plans, still understand what's going to happen, and some of those estimates on population increases. So, if you need to go to the store the day before, or you need to get gas the day before, those little things you can do to make the day a little bit easier. Really, that pre-planning is really what we're hoping that everyone does, and that makes the event much more fun for individuals, and they'll get to enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah. And Jaina?
I would only add that we're hoping that people come early and stay later. So plan ahead, enjoy what Vermont has to offer. Be in your planned place for watching the eclipse ahead of when you actually want to start viewing the eclipse. And take those extra precautions, as Eric mentioned, to make sure that you have enough food, fuel, water, that type of thing for those eclipse goers and for those who are staying home.
Mm. All right, another fun question. What are you guys planning to do for the eclipse? Have you figured it out? We're talking about preparedness. Jaina, do you know what you're going to be doing to watch?
I know exactly what I'm going to be doing. Our Incident Command Center is going to be fully activated for the day of the eclipse. We are a partner to Vermont Emergency Management Statewide Emergency Operations Center. So myself as the commander and my section chiefs will all be active and working in person at the Dill Building by the Knapp Airport in Berlin. And we will be there all day.
All right. Well, I hope you get to still step outside and
we
see the eclipse when it happens. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Eric, what about you?
Like Jaina, we've also opened our emergency operations center. So we'll be working throughout the day. We actually opened it today and it'll be open the next 2 weeks. But during the day, we are virtual. So I'll be stepping outside with my three teenagers to watch the eclipse because we're in the path of totality. So.
Oh, well, that's very convenient. Mm-hmm. That's great. And have either of you seen an eclipse before? Is this a first?
This is my first total. We had a partial a while ago.
Yeah.
Same.
Right. Well, it should be a very exciting day. Thank you both so much for joining us to talk about it. And again, we have a lot of information up on vermontpublic.org about how to prep for the eclipse, as well as some really heartwarming stories about folks who have chased eclipses. One person who is 104, and this is his second, so it's really not a first-in-a-lifetime eclipse for him. So really special event to kind of gather together around. Again, that is at vermontpublic.org. All right. Well, Eric Forand, Director of Vermont Emergency Management, thank you so much.
Thanks for having
us.
Me. I enjoyed
really
it.
Great. And Jaina Morris with the Agency of Transportation, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.